The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome to another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast, where we answer your questions on how to run your business better. I'm Elizabeth Larkin, Managing Editor of Small Biz Ahead, and with me today, as always, is my co-host, Jean Marks, small business owner and small business expert. Jean and I are here to answer all of your burning small business questions. Jean, what's happening with you?
You talk so much about what's going on in my life, Elizabeth. Come on, what's going on? What's you got a puppy that woke you up in the middle of the night?
Yeah,
you just told me.
Yeah. So she was doing so well with house training, and then all of a sudden the other night, I try to be really good. I try to get to sleep by 10, which is crazy. I know, because I fight it. I fight it the whole time. I'm like, oh, I should be, you know, watching more TV or scrolling through my iPhone. But no, it's like, no, I should be sleeping. But
it's another topic for a podcast to talk about sort of the daily routines of successful business
owners. The daily routines and also how you sabotage yourself.
Yeah.
People call it, actually, I was reading about it in New York Magazine, people call it sleep procrastination.
Yeah.
Like they fight going to sleep even though they know intellectually. Yeah. So anyway, I shoot for going to sleep at 10 and I knew Jean and I are recording today, but I had some laundry to do, and I'm like, I'm going to stay up a little later. And then I finally got to bed at like 11:30, and then at 12:52, I hear the little whining, and I thought, oh no, I got to get up. And I live in an apartment building, so it's not like I can just like get up and open the back door and let her go out. I have to get up, I have to get dressed, I have to, you know, take her down 7 flights, and so she woke me up.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
So it's okay. It's happened, I think this is the third time in like 6 months, so it's not that bad.
Well, you seem awake now, so that's good news.
Yeah. Well, I usually drink decaf every day, and this morning I asked them to put a splash of caffeinated coffee in it.
And you can thank your puppy for that.
So the
takeaway is nobody should get a puppy. Is that right? It's like really, you know, if you want to get a good night's sleep.
You know, here's the thing with puppies. Like, if you want a dog, I really think, first of all, she's a rescue. Definitely get a rescue. And
we got one too.
If you're going to get a dog, I think get a dog, don't get a puppy. Although I really wanted a puppy because I have never, like I had a puppy when I was 5, but really it was my parents doing all the work. So this is my first puppy as an adult. And it's really nice because I feel like I'm, you know, training her and having a huge influence on her life, which you don't get with an older dog. But yeah, house training stinks.
It really stinks. Does. It really does.
But she's getting a lot better. So
good. Good. Well, hopefully I won't put you to sleep on this podcast.
All right. We'll be right back with question one.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
We're back with question one. From Sebastian B. in Salem, Massachusetts. I really like how people are now giving us their last name.
Salem, Massachusetts. And, as in Salem Witch Trials, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. There's a Salem. FYI, we're recording this in Hartford, Connecticut right now, so I'm happy to have another fellow New Englander here. But there is a Salem in every New England state.
I didn't know that.
A huge thing here.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a Salem, Connecticut. There's every state.
But Sebastian Salem is the Witch Trial Salem.
That is the Witch Trial Salem. So here's what he writes. I run a small cafe. My lines are always too long, which is great because that means I have plenty of customers. But I hate making people wait for their food, and I'm sure they hate it too. How can I shorten my lines? Mm. And if I can't, is there a way to convince my customers that they're happy to stand in line? So as a frequenter,
that's their happiest. Go ahead. What did you?
As a, for some reason, I just feel like this question was submitted by a millennial.
Yeah. Why do you say that?
Because you know, baby boomers and Gen Xers would be like happy to stand in line. Okay, so I go to small cafes all the time. I really try. Actually, we haven't had our Outback discussion yet, but we'll have that next. I really try to go to smaller local eateries when I go places. And yeah, waiting in line totally stinks.
Yeah.
My boyfriend and I go to this burger place at once every couple of weeks, and we'll wait up to like 45 minutes.
Oh my God. I would never do it for a burger.
Yeah, they're really good. Okay. So it's called Max Burger if you're in Connecticut. So what they do is you walk in and they take your name, they take your phone number, and they text you when your table's ready.
Sounds good.
So they're located in West Hartford Center in West Hartford, Connecticut. So we actually, like, go walk around. Good. It's right next to the post office. So, you know, we have any business at the post office, we'll do that. There's, like, a spice shop right there. And then I get the text. And also they say, like, oh, 45 minutes, but it's usually, like, 30 minutes.
Sure.
They also have a separate area, like, outside where you can wait, which is really nice in the summer months. And then you can always go to the bar and get a drink.
Sure.
In a small cafe, though, I don't know. I think the texting idea might be a little better.
Yeah, it is. There are a few restaurants that I had been to and a few clients that actually have apps that help them with online waiting. So one is, there's a great app called waitlist.me. And that, you know, it's an app that a restaurant can use so that you can sign in. It's basically a waiting list on a restaurant, but it's online. And then what it does is that if people, your customers, download the mobile app for waitlist, it'll show them where they are on the waiting list. Like real time.
Oh wow!
So I remember we went to some Mexican restaurant. They had waitlist. I mean, you know, they filled us out. They had an iPad, which is another thing you should be doing is walking around with iPads so people aren't like literally waiting in a line to be served. And then they get your name and they get whatever your cell phone number or whatever. And then they tell you if you download the app, you can see where you are. So you go and you download it, and I'm like, oh, we're third in line, we're second in line, oh, we're next. And then sure enough, we got like a message from them saying that we're ready to roll. So it was a really cool like application. Get if you're now, of course, not all customers are want to download another app to their phone, but at least you can give them the option. It's all about choices in this world, right? So you can say, listen, if you'd like to know where you stand, this is where you are. I love the idea of texting. I think that's great. I mean, bigger chains give you those little unit things that then, you know, spin around and make noise and all that kind of stuff. And like, so that's also an option as well.
The problem with those, though, is that if you say to your customers, listen, you've got an hour wait, and they give you one of those big discs that you have to carry around.
Hate it.
They you can't go anywhere.
No, that's exactly right. So that's why I like the waitlist.me, and that's why I like your getting texted as well. I think those are some really good solutions for people. The other solution I just have to say is, this may not be your situation, Sebastian, but you know, internally, are you doing everything you can do? I mean, you made a joke about millennials, you know, and whatever, are you doing everything you can do to minimize that wait time? You know, I mean, we have like a shop near us where we go and we buy, it's a bread shop, it's a bakery, and we go there all the time to buy like freshly baked bread. It's really good. And like, you know, there's like people that are in there, it's all very like sort of like hipster, and you know, everybody very granola like, and it's peace and all that stuff and delicious products. But it's like you go there and there's one person behind the counter while the other people are sort of dawdling around. Yeah. And then when it comes time to pay, God forbid if you have a credit card, because they have the credit card machine that's like hidden under the sink, and then they're waiting for it to whatever. And like, you know, and you're just waiting and you're like, oh my God, you know, here, just take my money already as cash. It's just, you know, you should always look at yourself first and say, am I doing everything I can do to maximize, you know, the time that it takes to deliver product to a customer? I think it's very nice that you love these burgers so much that you're willing to wait 45 minutes for. I can tell you, Elizabeth, that not everybody like me, feels that way. Like, I don't know if I'd wait 45 minutes for it. It would really get annoying to me after a while.
If I'm hangry and we have had times where we've shown up there and it's, you know, a Tuesday night and I haven't eaten since noon and it's 7 p.m.
You're like, I'll just say, this,
no, we're just going to go downtown to Plan B. Like, we're just going to go somewhere else.
Enough.
But if it's, like, lunch on a Saturday, then it's
fair
fine.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, you're going to lose business.
Yeah.
And I'm not, sometimes you might, you're just overcrowded and it's not, you can't do anything about it. But I don't know. I mean, sometimes there may be other solutions internally to improve the wait time the way people are working.
I think that's true. And there's a cafe near me that you can just tell that they're not hustling as much as they could.
Yeah.
And I think it does hurt their business. They have one person at the counter. So you walk in and there's a counter and it's a bunch of baked goods. There's a ton of tea behind them. It's, like, it's actually a tea shop.
Okay.
And then there's the coffee, which is not just like drip coffee. It's like cappuccinos and lattes.
Okay.
And there's one person. So you have like 10 people in line.
Oh my God.
So that one person is making tea, heating up the food, and making the coffee and taking people's credit cards or cash and checking people out. And I always feel like you're a coffee shop. Like, you need to, you're basically selling people the drug of caffeine.
Yeah.
They're on their way to work.
Yeah.
Like, have two or three people up there. I mean, I don't want to promote Starbucks, but they do it right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very, very efficient. You know, it's a big corporation, but I do see people in the coffee shop, like, you know, someone setting up tables for later. Like, if you see a line of 10 customers, get over there.
Yeah.
Like, have everyone there. Have it really efficient.
It's a management attitude and a cultural attitude, like an all hands on deck type of thing. And Sebastian, if you're like, oh, dude, I can't afford to have somebody else, you know, like, do that. I can only have her. I get that as well, and that's fine. The question that you have to ask yourself, and you need data to do this. You have to watch and observe and keep notes. Maybe you can afford that person because they will be able to churn more customers through and there will be a return on investment. If you come back and tell me, like, listen, dude, even if I had another person in here, I'm still not going to be able to do, I'm not losing as much business that it would make it worth it, then I'm in agreement with you. I'm like, hey, don't do it just for the sake of doing it. It's got to have, like, a return on investment.
And there are ways, just because you say cafe, I keep thinking about, like, breakfast food and coffee. It could be lunch, too. But when I lived in Brooklyn, there was a brunch spot. Of course, brunch in Brooklyn, but I know it's a cliche. But, you know, I would go there with my friends every Sunday, and the lines were so long, and you'd have to, like, sit on the stoop.
Ugh.
But what we would do is we'd get there, and you could buy a cup of coffee and then have coffee, and they had, like, the New York Times out. So while you waited, at least you had coffee, which is,
yeah,
like,
that's cool.
When I wake up in the morning, like, I just, as long as I have my coffee for a little while, I don't need to be, like, I don't need my waffles right away. But as long as, like, you have coffee, they also had fresh squeezed juice and that kind of stuff. So you didn't have to sit down to at least start kind of eating.
Sure.
And the other thing that I didn't mind waiting there was the product was really good and they were hustling. So I didn't feel like you saw people kind of dawdling. Like,
I get it. They were just legitimately busy.
They were busy.
Yeah.
They didn't have, like, a bunch of empty tables and they just weren't seating you. It was more of a... and also, you know, stressing to people, like, I'm a small business. I just got started. We're working the kinks out. Like, you can be honest with customers.
Yeah, people
complain. You can say, listen, I know we're working on it. We want to get you seated as quickly as possible. How you react to angry customers, I think, is also very important in that situation.
Mm,
but it sounds like it's something you really care about and you want to fix. So good luck with that. It's great. I mean, congratulations that you have that much business.
Agreed.
That's awesome. Okay, we'll be right back with question two.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, we're back with question two, and this is from Yevgeny V. in Youngstown, Ohio. That's a mouthful.
Yevgeny V. from Youngstown. Youngstown, Yevgeny. Okay.
So, he asks, quote, I travel a lot for business, and sometimes I end up visiting the same city twice in 1 month. it can be pretty wasteful. Is there a way to meet for me to consolidate meetings without losing business? So I guess he just doesn't feel like he wants to say, hey, I'm going to be there in 2 weeks. Can we just... you know, can we move this meeting?
Sure.
I mean, I think that's the obvious answer. If he could do that, he would.
Yes.
But for some reason, he can't do that.
Yeah, then suck it up, dude.
So you got to do it.
Yeah, that's my answer. I mean, like, first of all, I'm going to say, like, you know, when you talk about, like, having to do things, you know, everything in life is a choice and an option. So
yeah.
I'm not saying that, like, you travel from Youngstown, Ohio to Los Angeles twice in a month for two lousy prospects, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you have to judge what's going to be, you know, worth your time. I will tell you, when I sell, we sell to customers all across the country, and there are sometimes I will go on a plane to meet with them. Most of the time we don't, because we can accomplish what we need to accomplish on the phone or using like online collaboration tools at join.me or even like a Google Hangout or a Skype call. We can see each other that way. People are pretty open to that stuff nowadays. Having said that, we close more deals when we're face to face.
Definitely.
It just, there's a human thing that's really important. So the ones that I go out to face to face is when I'm qualifying my prospects, and this is what you should be doing, Yevgeny, is when you're qualifying your prospects, when you talk to somebody that there's a certain dollar amount involved, it's significant enough, then yeah, get on a plane, and even if that means you're going back to the same city twice in a month, do it, because if the money is there, you want to follow the money. But if you qualify a prospect and the dollar isn't there, if it's less money than, you know, than is really necessary, or, it's just a lower price deal, I wouldn't hesitate from saying, hey, can we do this on the phone, or can we do this by a Skype session or a Google Hangout, or can we, listen, you know, I'll be in LA next, you know, on the 18th. Can we schedule a time there? So it's all about the money. It's following the money and going after the deals that are big enough. And if I told you that guy there had a suitcase with $1 million in it, if you go there, you'd go. So it's, you're going to choose when you're going to get in a plane or not, depending on what the value is of the deal.
Definitely. All right, we'll be right back with our words of brilliance from Gene.
Words of brilliance.
Get excited.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
All right, we're back with our words of brilliance. Gene, go for it.
I have two words of brilliance for you today,
wow.
Elizabeth. Two words. It's actually a name. The first name is Joel, and the last name is Osteen. Joel Osteen. Do you know who Joel Osteen
no,
is?
No, it sounds familiar.
You don't know who Joel Osteen
is? It sounds very familiar.
Joel Osteen is a preacher.
Okay.
A Christian preacher. Who you can see, you can listen to on, he's got his own channel on Sirius. If you Google him, he's all over. He is an evangelical preacher that speaks to, he has a stadium, an arena, I guess in Texas or wherever the guy's from, I don't even know. 20,000 people every week come. He's one of those guys that gets up there and talks his evangelical stuff. Now, the reason why I bring Joel Osteen up is because I wrote about this recently. It's for the series that we've been doing on presentations.
Yes.
Joel is, when people ask me, I wrote this blog about my favorite speaker. Like when people ask me who is my favorite public speaker, is Joel Osteen. Now, I want you to know something. I am Jewish.
Okay.
I am not a Christian. Not only am I Jewish, I am completely non-religious. My only involvement in my religion is I play on my synagogue softball team once a week during the summer. That's about as religious as I get. So I just want you to know, I'm not a religious guy anyway. I'm not even saying, I certainly don't buy into a lot of the stuff that Joel Osteen talks about, but I will tell you this much. If you are looking to, you know, to hone your skills as a public speaker, if you really want to be good in presentations to a group, small or large, watch Joel Osteen a couple of times, because he is, as a speaker, a compelling speaker. He works without notes. I don't even think that he has like a prompter or whatever. He tells stories. He is engaged with his audience. He repeats themes again and again so that they sink in. He talks in a very level, you know, way. He's not manic and crazy. He's not like a low voice kind of guy. He's like a very even-keeled energy guy. He's passionate about it, what he talks about. He's engaging. You like him. He's smiling at you. Like, you like him, what he's saying. You know, he's like a younger guy. He's like, you know, he has this message that he gives. He is, as a public speaker, I always talk about, and I've written about this before for the Hartford, that I talk about giving tips on using PowerPoints really well. And I've written two pieces about both using PowerPoint in a presentation, using PowerPoint designing tips. Joel Osteen does not use a PowerPoint for his, because the great speakers that I run into in this world, they don't use PowerPoints. You know, they get up and they can talk. I've known speakers that you can say, listen, I need you to talk up for a half an hour on how to drink a glass of water. And if you're a great speaker, you can get up and tell a story and engage your audience about drinking a glass of water. That's what Joel Osteen does. I think he is just a wonderful way that he presents himself. So my brilliant words of wisdom this week for anybody who's looking to improve their skills as a public speaker. Of course, you can read and go to TED Talks and all that kind of stuff. But check out Joel Osteen. Guy gets up there for a couple of hours at a time.
Wow.
And you're just like mesmerized by him. I think he's just great. So those are my words of wisdom.
As always, we're going to have all of this in the show notes. So don't take notes. We're going to have them for you. So I have some words of
brilliance. Yes, you have some words of wisdom. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes. What are these?
Words of brilliance.
Words of brilliance.
This is a new, I guess you'd call it a product I found that I think is so cool. So a lot of people are not writers. Like a lot of, like you and I write all,
we do.
Every day. Yep. Like that's all we do. But a lot of people out there just are not writers. Yep. Like they're brilliant business people, but they don't write. So there's a company called Love Business Owner, and it is over 300 scripts that you can download to respond to an annoying client or respond to a great client or use if you're having a difficult conversation with a client.
Great.
So you go through their database, you can search by keyword, tag, or category, whatever issue you're facing as a business
owner.
You
can put in a keyword like deadbeat customer, you're saying, and then I'll get
the customer won't pay. Yes. Like, and it'll pop up with a, you know, obviously.
Lying is a good one. Yep. Cheating. Is that right? Yeah, overcharging. You can find all that stuff. Okay.
So like, let's say someone's not paying you. So you go into their database, which happens all the time.
Yes.
And you search for client won't pay and a script pops up and you can customize that.
Can you add in your own profanity or does it come with its own profanity?
You can add that in. It's plug and play.
Okay, that's good to hear. That's good to hear.
And it's $99. You get access to their entire directory. And it even goes as far as using it by industry. It even has scripts in there for having difficult conversations with your friends and family.
Oh my goodness.
So if you're just a terrible communicator.
Sounded like you to clean up your room, but I don't know how to communicate that to you, so I'm going to read from this script here. Let me take it from the top.
Oh my gosh. So that's, I'm going to go over some of the collections that they have. Working with business partners. So if you need to like work things out with your business partners, they have a collection for that. Taming the client beast.
Ooh.
I'm sure that's a big one.
Okay.
Prospects and inquiry calls. So that's, you know, what do you say to someone? Let's say you've had like 3 calls with them. You submitted your proposal. You haven't heard from them.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
What do you send to them? Mm. Awkward moments.
Oh,
I'm sure
goodness.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'd like to read some of that.
Okay. And finally, for people who wanted to network a little more strategically, a category called Making Friends in Business.
Very nice.
Which I think could be very helpful. Yes. So check that out. We'll link to that. It's called Love Business Owner. And honestly, it's okay. If you're not a great writer, if you don't really know like how to say something in a way that's not going to offend someone when you just want to say, pay your darn bill. Like, they'll say it for you. I think that could be really useful. All right, Gene, thanks so much for being here another week, and we'll talk to you all again next week.
Look forward to it.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford. You can find us online at smallbizahead.com, and while you're there, make sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter to receive tips and advice for managing and growing your business. You can also join the Small Biz Ahead community on Facebook and Twitter.